Brother Granville read a portion of scripture for us earlier on, and he read from Hebrews chapter 9, 24 to 28. He read from Hebrews chapter 9, 24 to 28. We'll be taking a look on Hebrews chapter 9, other verses apart from those that Brother Granville read. But I just want to let you know that we will be exhorting under the topic, unto them that look for him. That is the topic for tonight. Unto them that look for him. And that is to be found in verse 28. That says, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But we're not using the entire line there. We just said, unto them that look for him. It is really sad tonight, church. It is really sad that there are so many people who are moving around doing different things. Things that are necessary. Things that are in the way of progress. And no one is knocking them for doing those things. But doing things without the consciousness, without the thought that there is a meeting with Almighty God. The furthest thing from our mind is the fact that Jesus is coming again. We don't think about it. It means little or nothing to us, outside, those of us who are outside of the Christian community. And one of the ways in which, as Sister Bennett mentioned earlier, one of the ways in which we keep this at the forefront of our mind is how regular we read the Bible. How much devotion we have. How much we find time to pray. As we keep this at the forefront of our mind, unto them who look for him. Because it's true that there are many people who are not looking for Jesus. There are many people who don't have the second coming of the Lord on their mind. And I want to tell you, it is a dangerous thing to be living in the absence of thinking about the return of Jesus. And in this passage here, I would like to point out the reason why we should look out for him. Why we should have it on the forefront of our mind and look out for him. If you are looking out for somebody, it means that every minute that person is on your mind. You know something? Last week Sunday, I did not get a chance. I was not able to go to Miami to our fellowship with the brethren. But my wife did. And when I listened to the service and it was finished, I started to, in my mind, timing her. And I said to myself, by now she should be finished packing up the things. And then I said to myself, by now she should have driven out. And by now she should be on the turnpike. So I find myself keep going to the window and looking in the driveway to see if she's there. And I did that about three times. And before I was able to go back the fourth time, I heard the door rattle. And when I look, I discover she had reached. And how much joy I had to know that she had traveled all this distance to Miami and she came back safe. But I was looking. I was looking for her return. I went to the window and I looked in the driveway and I didn't see the car. And I came back and I sat down and after a while I went and looked again. It means that the thing was on my mind. And that is what I'm trying to get to the brethren here tonight and friends. Something needs to be on our mind. Somebody needs to be on our mind. Jesus needs to be on our mind. Because we ask ourselves, why? Why should Jesus occupy? Why should he live rent-free in our mind? Let's look at what happened here. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into the heavens itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Tells us that Jesus has entered into heaven before God for us. And before us there means a whole lot to me tonight. It means it includes me. It means it includes you. He has entered into heaven before God for us. You know, if you read Acts chapter 1, it will tell you that Jesus, while the disciples were talking to him, behold, he was lifted up. This is not mechanical power. This is not combustion power. This is not electrical power. This is divine power. He was lifted up off earth. And he went up vertical into heaven. He went up vertical into heaven. And the disciples look up and watched him as he went out of sight. And as they gaze upon him, ascended into heaven, he was out of their sight, but they saw angel that said unto them, that asked them the question, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And from that time, the responsibility has fallen upon us to look for him returning from heaven. And to them that look for him. Tonight, as a church, we believe that every believer has this responsibility of looking for Jesus' return. But be conscious of this. Every minute, every day, every night, when you wake up in the middle of the night, it should be on our mind that Jesus might come back now. The word just tells us that he had entered heaven before God for us. Why is it important that he has entered heaven before God on our behalf for us? Let's read a little bit here from the same passage that Brother Granville did not read. I read from from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to verse 14. I want to point out something there to us to straighten the thought that I'm making right now. But Jesus Christ, I'm reading from verse 11, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Jesus Christ came an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Look on those two words again. For us. For us. Can I hear the church say for us? For us. Can I hear the church say for us tonight? For us.
For us.
Hallelujah.
For us. For us.
Hallelujah. For us. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ash of any effort sprinkled unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to save the living, to serve the living God. Mm-hmm. Especially verse 12 that we have just read. That's it. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It is telling us, this is telling us that when Jesus died on Calvary, the act which was performed, not that the priest in the past who would kill the animal and enter through that veil and present it before the mercy seat, that blood which represents the removal of the sin and transgression of the people. Not that type of approach Jesus did. After Jesus died, he carries his own blood, not into the earthly sanctuary, not into the earthly temple or tabernacle, but he takes it to the heavenly by himself. And he presents it before God for us. Come on, church. That's where we are coming from tonight. Why we say there is an interest in looking for him to return. And to them that look for him. Because he takes his own blood, presents it before the Father, and said, Daddy, this is done on their behalf, you and I. Father, accept the sacrifice, because Jesus was spotless, the spotless Lamb of God. And I'm so grateful tonight. We are so grateful tonight that he is holding his position in the heavenly. He is there interceding for you and me. And when the accuser of the brethren appear before God and accuse you of wrongdoing, and accuse me of wrongdoing, and accuse all of us of wrongdoing, Jesus is there at the mercy seat of God, interceding for you and for me. He held up his hand and said, here are the wounds. I have crucified for them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Overlook that thought. Overlook that sin. He is there making intercession for you and me tonight. And that's why, as a church, we treasure in the fact that we have a high priest in the heavens. We have a representative in the heavens, watching over our affair and looking out for us. And my unsaved brethren tonight, my unsaved brethren tonight, Jesus wants to look out for you too. Jesus wants to accommodate you. Jesus wants to talk to Father about you as well. Only if you would accept the sacrifice that he had made on Calvary, and he took his own blood and he gave it to the Father in the heavenly and presented it there. And he has not left yet. We are still looking for him. We are looking every minute for him to return. And to them that look for him, will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? We are looking for him tonight. There's something interesting about the writer to the Hebrews. There's something he said rather interesting here in his presentation. And that is to be found in verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And many of us know this passage too. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The writer to the Hebrews makes sure that that vital piece of information gets in there. That precious piece of information gets in there. It is appointed unto men once to die. Can I say something to you tonight? Death is not an accident. No death is an accident. Death is an appointment. It doesn't matter what you want to say tonight, that some people die young, some people die old. I certainly will agree with that. But in the sight of God, in the eyes of God, no death is an accident. Nobody dies because you can die for what we call an accident. But in the eyes of God, it is not an accident. Listen to what Job 14 and verse 5 tells us. Seeing his days are determined. I want you to make a note of that. This is a broad statement that involves everyone. Whether you're young, you're old, whether you're American, Jamaican, Canadian, or Australian. Seeing is gaze. Regardless of who the person is, from the youngest to the oldest. Seeing is gaze are determined. Understand that. What Job is saying here. It is determined by somebody. It is an appointment made by somebody. It went on to say, the number of his months are with thee. Thou art appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Make a note of that verse and read it when you get the chance. Job chapter 14 and verse 5. It's an appointment, not an accident. Every death is an appointment, not an accident. Of course, there are different ways that people pass away. Different ways. Some people call it freak accident. Somebody died from a freak accident. Some people call it different things. Some people call it all sort of stuff. But the Bible call it an appointment. And this is why the church is here tonight pleading with all of us. We have many friends who are not yet saved. We have many family members who are not yet saved. And we are pleading tonight because we don't know what time that our appointment is going to come. But it cannot be put off. It is appointed unto men once to die. The writer to the Hebrews makes sure that he gets this important information in. As he declared the work of the Lord Jesus, what Jesus has been through in order to secure salvation for us. And how Jesus is still working on our behalf at the throne of grace. Even when the enemy come and may complain against you and me, the Lord is able to hold up his hands and say, I died for him. I died for her. Here are the wounds in my hands. Of course, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We can be justified by the blood of Christ. We can be people who are without sin based on the justification of the Lord Jesus because of his shed blood tonight. You can be forgiven. We all can be forgiven. And we can be represented there at the throne of grace. Jesus has entered into the heavens before God on behalf of us. The writer to the Hebrew declare, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judge. You and I don't know what time we're going to go out. You and I don't know. But the writer is saying here that we should prepare for it. We should prepare. We should live in a state of readiness, having secure salvation by the man called Jesus, who took his own blood into the heavens to represent us before God. We should live in a state of readiness. is appointed unto men once to die, but after that comes the judgment. You know, I am sorry for those people, those denominations. And there are plenty of them around. Most of them are outside of this country. But some of them are here too, who believe in what is called reincarnation. I'm sorry for them, because this verse gives them no place. After death, the judgment. They believe that this reincarnation stuff, believe that when you die, you turn into an animal, or your spirit can enter another person, and you come back again. You can turn into something else, and you are still existing. This reincarnation doctrine that is being given is completely wrong based on God's word. When you die, said the Bible, when you die, said the Bible, your spirit goes back to God who gave it. Your spirit goes back to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7 tells us that. And it is God who determines where you go from there. It is God who will determine whether you enter into a place of torment or a place of paradise. After death comes the judgment, the Bible declares. This powerful verse of scripture, the writer to the Hebrews makes sure that it is involved in the expression and the information given to the Jewish community about the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary. How shall we neglect? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? How shall we escape? The emphasis that is placed on what Jesus did, the word tells us that the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, the blood of no other animal could not produce salvation. He took the blood of the Lord Jesus to do it. He had to die on Calvary. And as a result of being dead, he was buried and he rose again by himself. And he went up into heaven carrying his own blood to the Father and said, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. I have sacrificed my life to the redemption of the world. And he's sitting there ever since, waiting on the appointed time to return. And so that's why we say tonight, unto them that look for him. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him? I have news tonight for those people who believe in reincarnation. After death comes the judgment. No chance again. The window of opportunity is closed. The window of opportunity is closed. We might feel like we are extremely strong right now. We might feel that we are invincible. We might feel that there is nobody else like me. There is no health issue. There's no wealth issue. There's no friend issue. There is no want in any shape or form. But are we in this state prepare to meet the Master? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that comes the judgment. The writer to the Hebrews spell out why we should be looking for him. The clear, the finished work of Calvary by the Lord Jesus and where Jesus is now interceding for us to make sure that we maintain our relationship with him. And I want to tell you this, there are 10 people, there are 10 events that the Bible speaks to, of people coming back from the dead. 3 in the Old Testament and 10 events in the New Testament of people who had died came back. Nobody who came back is able to relate to anybody what goes on there beyond the grave. But they all died again. Apart from Jesus, they all died again to face the judgment. They all died again to face the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. There are 2 persons who have never died. But God has arranged it that their body receive the eternal integrity to keep them alive even at this moment. But it is a rule that is established by the word that every man should die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Right? It would be so good if somebody could realize that they are a sinner before God. They need a savior. They need a redeemer. They need somebody in the heavens who will stand up for them. They need somebody. They need a lawyer in the heavens. And that person's name is Jesus. Unto them that look for him. And the last verse tells us, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Have you heard that? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When he comes back, he's not coming back as a redeemer. He's not coming back to cleanse anybody from sin. That has passed. He's not coming back to change people's life. That has passed. He's coming back to reap the harvest of those who are ready to go with him. That's why we look for him. That's why we keep in touch with him. That's why it is important to have him on our mind. Because those who are sinners when he returns will remain sinners. Those who are righteous when he returns will remain righteous. And that's why we need to look for him. And to look for him means we should have him on our mind day and night. John in the Revelation 1:7 tells us that every eye shall behold him. Some are going to be forced to look at him. But we, the Christians, are looking for him because we well want to see him come. It's different from those who are going to be forced to look on the Redeemer, to look on the Savior, to look on the man who is going to bring them into judgment. The Bible says, even those that pierce him on the tree, are going to see him. Revelation 1:7. Every eye shall behold you. They're going to look and they are going to cringe. Because this is Jesus. And it is judgment. It is judgment for the unseen. But for the redeemed, it is a time of harvest. It's a time of harvest. Because we are looking for him to appear. My brothers, my sisters, and friends, that's why we have church. That's why we have church. We have church from the standpoint that every time that we meet with intention to advance the kingdom of God. And this is what we do. We preach. We give testimonies. We worship the Lord. We glorify him. We pray to him. Because he said that we should occupy until he comes. Tonight I want to extend this invitation because it is important that we really take a stock of ourselves. Are we really looking for him? Is he occupying our mind? He shall keep thine heart in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. His own mind on Jesus. His own mind staying on Jesus. Are we looking for his return? Are we looking for our Savior to come back in this miserable world? I would like to give somebody, if you are here tonight, a chance to say yes to Jesus. To say to him, I admire your work. I admire your sacrifice. I admire the fact that you have presented your blood before God in heaven on my behalf. So that I can be redeemed. I would like to hear somebody respond to that work of Jesus in an act of saying, I will walk with the Lord. Are you here tonight? Are you ready to give Jesus a chance? Are you looking for him as a judge? Are you looking for him as your Savior to come back? Are you here? Can you say, pray for me, Pastor? Pray for me that I will start to look for Jesus in his return. Pray for me that I will start to focus on what Jesus did for me. Pray for me that my life will be changed for the better as I start to walk with the Lord. There's somebody out there. You on the website who will listen to this word after a long period of time. This word is going to speak to you too. Whenever time you heard this word, the appeal is also for you. Surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. Tell Jesus that you'd like to start a new life with him. Tell him that you're sorry for your sin that you've carried for years, night and day. But you are ready to change. And to start to walk with the King. Tell him thanks for representing you in heaven. Those of you who will listen to this sermon on the website, you too can be saved. Jesus died for you as well. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You have organize this course of action by which humanity can be in line with divinity again. We can come in line with the divine purpose of God by the blood of Jesus. It was important for him to not send in his blood, to not leaving it behind, but he took it himself into the most holy in the heavens and present it before you and said, my blood is shed for the remission of sin. And tonight, those of us in the church are rejoicing because of that act. We are forgiven. We are being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is spotless, holy, without blemish, before the throne of God. Tonight we are extending that invitation to whoever is here listening, that you too might come into the kingdom. The Lord has, there might be somebody here contemplating as to whether or not they should make that decision. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you will work on that heart so that that heart will come around to put down pride, to put down high-minded thinking, to put down setbacks, disappointments, to put down every destruction that are out there and come humble before you, Lord, and ask for your mercy, ask for your forgiveness. And I'm sure that you are ready and waiting to forgive somebody. We thank you that this window of opportunity is still open. And we look to you, Lord God, that somebody will walk in and discover Jesus as Savior. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all you do. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that comes the judgment. Help us that we will not be found wanting. The judgment will not take us by surprise, but we will prepare for it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.